Welcome to the People of Portland and Beyond, episode 50. Today in studio with me is Amanda Jackson, also goes by Mandy Mannequin, Mandy underscore Mannequin with an IE on Instagram. That's how I discovered her. And she's into photography, styling, and design. Did I forget anything?
I mean, I do a lot of things, a lot more than I show on Instagram, but I think you got the gist.
Cool. And when did you get into that field?
Really, I started photographing when I was a kid. I got into the instant Polaroid film, probably when I was like 8. It was my first camera. At the time, it was pink and green and Barbie themed, but I really started getting into it when I was in high school, my senior year, in the yearbook club.
Yeah.
I became their main photographer because I never stopped shooting.
Nice. How often were you doing photography back then? How many hours out of the day?
A little bit less when I was in school, but it progressed into more hours, you know, per week as I got a little bit older. I think since I moved to Portland, I've really started to take it on a lot more.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll have 3 or 4 shoots a week. On my slow periods, maybe I'll take like a whole month off, but generally quite often.
Okay. And how often, I mean, when did you decide you wanted to be a professional photographer?
You know, I've just decided recently that I wanted to start doing it as a career. The past few years that I've been shooting, I've just done it for the love of shooting.
Yeah.
And then I've just recently, within the past year or so, decided that I can do what I love for a living. So fairly recently.
Nice. And what do you do as far as design work?
So I have a bachelor's degree in graphic design. I don't quite design directly. I use the principles that I learned in school to apply them to things like photography and styling. I like having that skill set to practice with other things.
Nice. And are you finding yourself wanting to do more commercial projects or more personal artistic projects?
Right now I'm trying to find that balance. I'm still working on more personal projects, but I'm definitely looking for more commercial projects. I'm learning what it takes. I'm trying to improve my skills.
Yeah.
I'm trying to put myself out there a little bit. So right now it's personal, but I'm definitely looking forward to more.
Cool. I did see on your website, mannequin/prints, mm-hmm. that you did some commercial work on labels and things like that.
Yeah, I have in the past for like more independent clothing designers, done some work for them, mostly photography work. I'm trying to get into stuff like that more frequently.
How did you find that work initially?
Well, the most notable one was Sugar Coma Clothing from Chicago. I'm pretty good friends with a model who knows the owner of that label, and she connected us, and I shot with both of them together a few times.
Nice. Have you found any leads for your work, paying work online or anything like that? Through like FOAP or something like that?
No, honestly, most of the paid work that I've done with my photography has been person to person.
Okay.
Surprisingly, because I'm always looking online, but you know.
Yeah. So word of mouth?
Yeah, I've been pretty lucky with that. I know a lot of great people.
Nice. Are you doing any projects right now that you're working on?
Right now I have a lot of things in the works. They are definitely more personal projects, but I'm finding that they just come to me. I have people who come to me with ideas. I have wonderful models who reach out and ask if we can shoot and our styles just mesh well. So yeah, I have probably like 6 shoots in the next 2 weeks that I'm really excited for. A lot of stuff going on.
Nice. And how is it working with Mandy Jackson?
That's me.
Oh, that's you. Okay, the model you worked with.
Yeah.
What was her name?
Koi.
Koi Fish. That's the latest picture on your Instagram.
Yeah.
When did you start working with her?
Oh, I want to say it was last year sometime. I can't remember exactly, but maybe like April. We've shot together a few times. She always has really great ideas. This latest shoot that is recently published in Naked Magazine, most of that was her concept. She said sparkles, and I said, I love sparkles. I have this sequin backdrop. Let's use it.
Mm-hmm.
She's wonderful with concepts. She's also just very lively and great poser. And I'm really excited to have something published with her.
How did you end up getting featured in Naked Magazine?
I believe she submitted them a few months ago. We shot this a while ago.
Yeah.
And we kept it exclusive for a while. We actually did publish them before on our own Instagrams before we found out it was going to be in the publication. So that was quite lucky.
Nice.
But yeah, she submitted them a few months ago, and I'm really happy that she did.
That is cool. How many submissions did you make? Was it besides Naked Magazine?
With this particular set, I believe it was just that one. I know she had talked about getting it published there because that was her goal, and she made it happen.
Nice.
I've been really lucky to work with such determined and driven people because we really help each other out.
Yeah, for sure. It's always good to have creative support of any kind. I'm a solo musician. I could use a little bit more, but
it's definitely a good thing to cultivate. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you find yourself listening to music when you're doing the shoots?
I find that it does help me and the models kind of stay, you know, animated, motivated. I've actually recently been considering what I could make into a playlist shoot.
Yeah.
So I kind of like to ask my models every time I shoot with a new one, like, what music do you like to hear?
So it's something that they like so they can feel more comfortable?
Yeah, definitely. Because most of the time we're shooting in my studio in my house where I already feel pretty comfortable. So it's about making sure that they feel safe and comfortable and happy and like they can do their best.
But then there's all cases when you're working outside, like the time you were in Arizona and Sedona.
Yeah.
You're working with Zach?
That's my husband. Yeah. So that photo right there is actually of me. That was last week.
Nice.
We went down there and spent some time, and we found this beautiful canyon vortex in Sedona. I had planned to take some portraits of myself there. Forgot the tripod on this hike, so I said, "Hey, Zach, be my tripod, take some photos of me," and that was one of the results.
Why did you decide on Sedona?
We were originally visiting the Grand Canyon, which we did on this trip, but if we had found out that everything was booked out like a year in advance.
Yeah.
So we ended up camping in Sedona, which is about 2 hours away, which I'm really happy we did because it was a very beautiful, spiritual, wonderful like place that we never would have planned on originally.
Nice. Now looking at the fourth picture down on your Instagram with the pink tint and she's upside down in the grass with her legs up. Who came up with the idea for that concept?
I was inspired by a photo I had taken of myself a few weeks before that. This model, her name is Emily, and she's like a wonderful inspiration for me. That pose was my idea, but her and I definitely have a really good chemistry together when it comes to shooting.
Yeah,
I find that we have like the same vibes that we want to express. That particular image is really awesome because that's digital. I have been shooting film a lot, but when I shoot film, I like to shoot film and then do the film soup where you put it in like boiling water, like lemon juice, and like destroy the chemistry a little bit.
Yeah.
So this was like a happy digital accidental version of that. I was importing the photo into Lightroom and it kind of glitched while it was doing it and never corrected it.
Yeah.
So we got this really cool pinkish tint effect because those plants are actually green. So it's pretty trippy.
Could you do this again, or was it just a complete freak accident how it happened?
That was an accident.
So you couldn't take the same steps. It was just like a computer error.
Yep. It's magical.
Yeah, the computer created art that way.
Mm-hmm.
These little triangles up here. I don't know why it did that, but it's cool.
Yeah, it's like something about the pixels and how they loaded. Yeah, it's definitely wonderful.
And then there's the one after that, the orange jumpsuit. A lot of these remind me of like a 70s vibe. Are you influenced by the 70s?
I've definitely had vintage influences throughout the whole time I've been shooting.
Yeah.
Emily, that's the same model in this photo, also has a great wardrobe that is just nostalgic that way. So I think it works wonderfully.
Where were you then?
That is at Rowena Crest.
Yeah, how was that?
It was such a windy day. The sun was very harsh. Like, I was a little bit nervous that the sun wouldn't work for the shoot.
Yeah.
And I had left. Like, I had a fun time hanging out with Emily, but we drove home and I was a little nervous that the photos weren't going to turn out, but they turned out pretty well. So just another example of things working out for the best when you try.
Yeah, it's awesome. And then you have this picture with, I was amazed that everybody had an Instagram. There's like 1, 2, 3, yeah. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 girls in a circle here. Or 9? That's awesome. Who choreographed this? Who organized this?
So this is, I was actually a model in this shoot.
Yeah.
I've been trying to reach out a little bit. I believe her name is Courtney. She organized this shoot through Instagram. And all of these models, we had been talking about it for a few weeks prior. This was inspired by May Day or Beltane on May 1st. So on that day, we had this shoot.
Okay.
It's just wonderful how these people can coordinate so many people. There were probably like six photographers there.
Yeah.
And this was a drone shot.
Okay.
By a photographer named Jake.
Nice.
It's some of my favorites from that day.
Yeah. Drone photography and video was really cool. That was my first episode. I had a guy that did fly drones. You can get some shots you would never get. Like, how could you do above shot right here? Like, without shadows and stuff?
Yeah.
There's just no way you could do it without a drone.
It's inspiring. I kind of want to get one someday.
Yeah, me too. It's like you can get one for as cheap as $100, $200.
Yeah, that's not bad for a camera.
And some of them don't even need the camera in them. It's just put, if you want to take a risk, put your camera on it or something.
I've heard of people doing that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just don't put like a $3,000 camera on there. That's ridiculous because people crash them all the time.
Mm-hmm. And they can be heavy. Yeah.
Yeah. Then you have this shoot after that. Well, before that, I guess. You had the May 6th post.
Mm-hmm.
So what went into this shoot? Did you organize like an outfit?
That was heavily produced on our part. So we shot this back in January.
Yeah.
When it was snowy all the way in Vancouver, Washington. I had been for weeks trying to find the perfect outfits for this. We were inspired by last year's Met Gala, Heavenly Bodies.
Okay.
Which has been, had a very heavy influence on fashion.
Yeah.
So I made these, I have a couple different sets from this shoot, but I made these headpieces, out of zip ties.
Nice.
And I spray painted them gold. And, this beautiful dress I got from Amazon, believe it or not.
Nice.
So for this shoot, I had, a team. We worked really well together. The model's name is Kira.
Yeah.
We had a wonderful hairstylist named Grace and then a makeup artist and body painter who made these gold tears on her face out of hot glue. And her name is Chelsea.
That is awesome.
There's a lot of talented people around here.
It's like a 30s era thing? Or the couch is very old?
The couch is, yeah. So we shot that at Lumen Estate. It is a woman's house in Vancouver who rents it out by the hour for photo shoots. Very, nice. Very beautiful place.
Yeah. Have you ever done any shoots at Forest Park?
A few years ago. Yeah, actually with this same model.
Where was it in Forest Park? Witch's Castle? It's a popular shooting location.
I haven't shot there, probably because it's so popular.
Yeah, I get that.
It gets crowded. And it's full of graffiti now, which makes me sad.
Yeah, I hate when things get ruined.
Yeah.
Such as Multnomah Falls with the fire.
Mm-hmm. That bummed me out too because one of my favorite hikes was Eagle Creek. It's magical in the fall hikes there.
Yeah, definitely. What do you like to do for fun around Portland?
Well, I actually live outside of Portland proper, but I drive up here for work. And believe it or not, I find my work to be very fun. So I'm a visual merchandiser.
Okay.
And I just, now that the weather is a lot better, I really honestly like to just go find a nice spot in a park and read a book. Love reading, super introverted.
Nice. So you're more into TV than, I'm sorry, books than TV or video games or movies or anything like that?
I definitely love good TV.
Yeah.
But yes, I think I read a lot more than anything else. I always have.
What are you reading now?
I'm reading, Deepak Chopra, a couple books. Actually, I do this thing where I read a physical book, ebook, and listen to an audiobook at the same time. But right now I'm reading, The Spontaneous Fulfillment of Desire, which I found to be pretty interesting, full of information. And I think it helps a lot with like life.
What is some things you've learned from it so far?
The number one thing I think is coincidences are everywhere.
Yeah.
And you just have to notice them. And the more that you notice them, the more you're likely to see manifest in your life what you want to get out of it.
Okay.
It's kind of like getting out what you put in.
Mm.
And I found that to translate really well with my photography. I had taken a long break last year from shooting because I wasn't in the best mental space.
Mm-hmm.
But this year I've met quite a few lovely collaborators, models, you know, hairstylists, who just kind of take me out of that funk and help me feel creative again. And, you know, through their talent and my talent combined, we make something greater than we could have on our own.
Yeah.
Which I love that.
Collaborations, definitely.
Yeah.
What is in your fridge right now?
My fridge. Let me see. I have like 2 blocks of tofu.
Mm-hmm.
I have a ton of soy creamer that I use in my hot tea. And LaCroix, probably like 36 cans.
What flavor?
Oh my gosh, we drink a few. So I'm weird and I like the pure flavor a lot because you can mix it with stuff.
Yeah.
But I also really like the crayon raspberry, the grapefruit, and the berry.
Okay.
I like most of them.
Nice. If you could close one fast food chain due to it being disgusting, which one would it be?
That's easy, and I'm ashamed to admit it because I would say McDonald's.
Okay.
I worked there as a teenager for 6 years.
That'll do it. Once you see everything that goes on in the background.
Yes, that's why I don't eat meat anymore.
Yeah, just work in a kitchen and then see how many times you want to go out to eat at restaurants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As a dishwasher or prep or anything. Oh, man. My uncle said he used to work at a restaurant and, you know, they would drop things on the floor and they would just use it anyway.
Mm.
Stuff like that.
Gross.
Exactly. Yeah. When you see things like that, you're like, ugh. I don't know where this food's coming from once you go out to eat after that.
Yeah, and like when you don't know about it, you just can't think about what might have happened to that. You just got to not think about it if you want to stay sane.
Yeah. If you could disinvent one thing, what would it be?
Oh, my God.
I mean, easy answer would be like nuclear bomb because that would be cool to get rid of.
Honestly, I was going to say like Tinder.
Yeah, that's a great one. I would get rid of that.
Yeah, like I've been married for 5 years, but I have friends who use it. And it definitely has good things that come out of it, but I feel like it's just like a game for rating people, and I don't really like the premise of that.
I feel like a lot of guys are getting very low self-esteem.
Yeah, I think it produces low self-esteem for sure. I think it like disconnects individuals from one another, you know?
Yeah.
A friend of mine once said, I think people don't hit on each other in public anymore because they just use Tinder now. So we miss that chemistry of eye contact and of just like feeling the other person's energy.
I agree. And you're just basing on off their 5 best pictures and a description, which probably doesn't represent them.
Yeah.
Just their best self, you know, just like Instagram.
And I also think that some people don't recognize their best self, so they can't actually like articulate that online.
Yeah.
And so that's something that people might miss unless they saw them in person or knew them in person.
Absolutely. There's so many times where that happens. Like you would have never met that person based on, you would have just swiped left, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where do you come from before Portland?
I lived in a few places, but I'm originally from Idaho.
Okay.
I was raised there until I was 20 and then I left. Cute little town. We lived right by the Snake River Canyon, which was like a famous Evel Knievel jump that he did not make.
Okay.
He survived, but I was not alive then. That was in the 70s.
So what's the best and worst part of your hometown?
The best is that it's beautiful and it's in a desert area and the canyon is there, like I mentioned. I think it has a lot of nature going for it. Sadly, I think the worst thing about it is the reason I left is just kind of has that provincial mindset of, you know, weird things are bad. And if you've seen my Instagram and know me at all, I'm pretty weird.
Perfect place to come then, Portland.
Yes. And we actually didn't intend to move to Portland either.
Right.
It just kind of happened. One of those coincidences.
Why? What happened?
So I left Twin Falls, Idaho, where I'm from, to follow my then boyfriend to Charleston, South Carolina when he joined the Navy. I moved there by myself. We didn't even live together.
Yeah.
So we could be close. Because I wanted an adventure that was a good way out when I was 20.
Mm-hmm.
And then we ended up moving here for a job once he got out of the Navy. So we didn't have a ton of choice. We liked the option of coming back to the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
It's so different from the South. I love Oregon so far.
You being artistic, how did you end up falling in love with a military man?
It's not really his personality. He didn't really enjoy the time he spent there.
It's just a job.
Yeah, he went in because he's very intelligent and he wanted to expand upon that because, you know, you learn a lot. He went in for nuclear reactor submarines and he did that for a few years. But he mostly just wanted the experience and education.
Okay.
And now he's looking into starting his own business. But he's definitely pretty artistic.
Nice.
He doesn't quite express it like I do, but I think he's wonderful at it.
What kind of art does he do?
He's good at all the things I am not good at, which I think is a reason we're pretty good together. He's wonderful at drawing. He has drawn up like blueprints for a future home someday. Mm-hmm. And like he will draw doodles on napkins. He leaves them around the house and they're just like these immaculate car drawings. And nice. I'm like, babe, did you do this? And he's like, oh yeah, just really quick for 5 minutes. It's not that great. And I'm like, it's wonderful. Nice. So I can't draw.
Yeah.
I definitely admire people who can.
Do you do music at all?
Yeah, actually. I've been singing most of my life. I really enjoy it. That's like a great like expression for me. I can play the guitar a little bit, self-taught, like 2 years. I'd like to learn that more. I feel like that would help me a lot with singing.
Mm-hmm.
I've honestly considered, you know, writing my own music. I've done that a little bit.
Yeah.
I've wanted to get into the music scene a little bit. And I think that's going to be my next step.
That's funny you bring up a point about differences between being a musician and an artist. Now, a musician could make a living covering someone else's music. Now, can an artist make a living painting someone else's stuff?
You know, I would say, like, for me personally, it probably wouldn't be as fulfilling to to do that. I think, you know, to each their own.
But as musicians, you're going to have to do covers more than originals. Like, that's just the way it is. A lot of the times when you're coming up, I don't know about Portland, the original music scene, but I mean, people pay attention when they hear something familiar,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll eventually gravitate to your stuff if you're lucky.
Yeah, I have noticed that. I think if it's just part of the game.
Does it work like that on Instagram? You have to put something familiar up, like an IP that people recognize sometimes.
What probably happens in the photography world is it's conceptual based similarities versus like this whole song. I have noticed that like I've been inspired by people when I was first coming out, coming up and learning as an artist. I would go on DeviantArt and look at, cause you can see the metadata from photographers' cameras on there. I would look at like works I admired and I would see what lenses they were using, what camera bodies they were using and like how they were shooting things. And then I would mimic them when I was first starting to learn more than anything.
Okay.
And then that really helped me figure out what I could do and what I wanted to do. So I think there's a little bit of, you know, mimicking at the beginning because there's nothing new under the sun, but I think it kind of evolves into your own language that you pull from others. We all share it.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any formal photography training?
Yeah, I did. When I was in college, I did not major in photography, although I wish I would have now. I had been shooting for a few years at the time, and then I did take a basic photography class, which didn't teach me a ton because I already kind of knew it.
It's based on like 3.5 millimeter cameras.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of film. I took darkroom classes too, which darkroom really helped me understand photography, even digital photography. I really enjoyed darkroom. It was something therapeutic about going into the darkroom.
Really? And I've heard opposite working. When they're like, oh, the chemicals, I can't stand it.
Yeah. There's definitely like a chemical thing. It's probably not healthy, but I really found it to be like, I could reflect, I could be introverted and I could think and there was always music playing. I liked it's creating in silence, which can be nice, like thought silence. But I think the most inspiring photography course that I took was not a technical course. It was photography history. So in that class, I got to learn what famous photographers throughout history have done and how they did it and why. Why, most importantly, was the most important thing for me. Because I think that's what separates the long-lasting from the short-lived is why they shoot and what they're trying to say.
Yeah, definitely. When did you start working with body paint?
That was, I started collaborating with Chelsea. She does the body paint in the shoots I've done.
Yeah.
We first shot together, I think sometime last year. We'd been talking to each other for a while about shooting and we hadn't. And I'm also have worked with a body painter named Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been shooting with her for a little bit longer. So last year is when I really started getting into stuff like that. And I'm really lucky to be able to work with talented people because that sort of work takes a lot of talent and time.
Yeah. When they did the body painting for the rainbow art.
That is Chelsea.
Yeah, that was amazing. The colors, and it seems to go with your style, too.
Definitely. I'm lucky to find people who jive well with me.
And her hair? How did they match the hair?
So Chelsea's multi-talented. She also does hair. So she did those rainbow bangs for this model named Callista. She's also a lead singer of the band Fortune's Folly from Portland.
Very cool.
Yeah. I just meet wonderful people from every artistic walk of life here. Yeah. They were like, do you want to do a rainbow shoot? And I'm like, yeah. So I made some fake clouds out of like cotton stuffing for like stuffed animals.
Yeah.
And we shot.
Nice. Did she brush the paint on? It looks like it, as opposed to spraying.
Yeah, that's brush.
Because, yeah, you couldn't make the lines like that with the spray.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really like the show Skin Wars. Have you ever seen it on Netflix?
I have not.
It's 3 seasons. RuPaul is one of the hosts, Rebecca Romaine Stamos. And it's just body painters competing and, you know, get to be the number one, the winner of the show. And
wow.
It's really interesting. Really good artwork on that show.
Definitely. I like anything that inspires. That sounds like it would be a good one.
What are you watching on TV right now?
I actually just last night started watching this show called The Good Place.
Awesome. I like that
show. Yeah, it's funny. I'm like 6 episodes in after like a day and a half.
First season, so good. Definitely loved that first season.
Really like the concept of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely nothing at the when it came out, I don't think there was like anything else that was like that.
Yeah. You don't see a lot of afterlife things that aren't like religious oriented.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like there's some other shows that popped up after, but yeah, before that, like there's another show with the guy from Portlandia. I forget what his name, but yeah, the main actor from, he's
Fred
in
Armisen.
A show that's exactly like that, except it's nowhere near as good.
Oh, okay.
And it's like a Netflix show.
Wonderful. Yeah, I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah. Do you ever find inspiration when watching TV or anything like that?
I definitely do. I find a lot of visual inspiration from other visual art. TV definitely does, but I think more than TV, it's movies.
Okay.
I really, really enjoy going to the movies by myself, like on a Tuesday, so it's not crowded, and just sitting. Sometimes I like to sit at the front because I'm weird, and just take it all in by myself and just see what I see. Yeah, I definitely find inspiration.
Have you been to the movies lately?
I haven't for a while, since like Christmas.
It's been a while.
The last movie I saw was Aquaman, which like half the people I was with really didn't like it, and me and like a couple other people really did like it. That movie surprisingly was pretty visually inspiring for me.
Yeah,
I really like water. I like underwater ocean.
Yeah, I really like when there's like a snow background when I'm playing video games. I don't know why. Like whites look better on a TV for some reason.
Yeah, there's definitely
things. And
like
ocean
that.
Always looks good. The blue water for sure. Do you ever go to Salvia Island?
Not in a while, but I used to. I used to shoot there quite a bit.
That's a great place to do nude shoots for sure. It's the only nude beach in Portland, right?
Yeah, I haven't visited there, but I've been around there. I like to hit up the cornfield like at the end of summer, beginning of fall. Like off times when nobody else is there, and do photo shoots. I've done a few that I loved, just the vast fields. I like the vast fields of Oregon. I love shooting in a field.
I really would love to do a shoot playing guitar in like a lavender field or something.
The lavender field, yeah.
Always looks amazing. I think there's plenty of them in Portland too.
Yeah. The Savi Island lavender farm. I've shot there a couple times. It's great to just go get some lavender and it's beautiful. Smells great.
Can you shoot at the corn maze? That would be cool.
Probably. I don't know which corn maze it was because there's a few. Like during the day, I'll go to the outskirts of one.
Yeah.
So that I'm not actually like in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Bothering anyone.
Because the background's just going to be a thing of corn. Like you're not going to see a maze unless you're going to do a drone shot or something.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the guy that runs that place, he does different designs every year. I don't know if it's every year, but like one of them was like a Disney character if you looked from above or something.
And now that's more possible with all the drones.
Yeah.
One reason to have one.
Totally. My friend in the first episode did a risky drone, like from my roof. He flew the drone over to Big Pink and back.
Wow.
And we can see that there's a helipad up there now. Magnificent Gravity YouTube channel, if you guys want to check that out.
Okay.
That's a really cool video with some nice music in the background. Do you ever watch anything on YouTube? Subscribe to any channels?
I'm not a big YouTuber. I have been recently feeling like I should. Seems like a thing.
It's picking up.
Yeah, definitely.
As far as subscribing to a channel, not a lot of people do that. But
yeah.
You should subscribe to People of Portland and Beyond YouTube channel if you want to see interesting interviews of people every week, at least.
Yeah, I really like the idea of YouTube because I like that people can share their ideas so freely.
Yeah.
And I do subscribe to a few channels. I do Yoga by Adrian, so like exercise stuff. And when I also use YouTube is just learning Photoshop techniques. I've been trying to rally what I know, and I'm planning on actually making videos to share about my like Photoshop skills, Lightroom skills, because I did a lot of that in college as well.
Nice. I would recommend checking out Julia Jarvis on YouTube. She's a great yoga instructor, and you can laugh when she does yoga stuff with her bulldog, like her little dog right there. It's the funniest thing ever.
Dogs and yoga are great. Yeah.
And that's what you need. You need to laugh when you're doing yoga. Sometimes you're taking too seriously. You just need to like lighten up. And you see your dog like so funny. Like I swear. I think she works for a channel called Psych Truth, but she also recently just started her own YouTube channel. So yeah, you should check that out. Do you ever listen to any podcasts ever?
I haven't really been a podcast listener until recently. What I really listen to more is just audiobooks and like TED Talks.
Yeah.
I feel like this is another one of those life coincidences because I've definitely been ready for more podcasts.
Yeah.
Because I'm, again, ready to hear what people have to say. I'm ready to listen when people want to share.
Yeah. I used to listen to music while I was doing things around the house, but I find myself listening to podcasts now. I mean, it got me into doing my own interview podcast. I've listened to enough interview podcasts, and you get insight into things that you wouldn't ever think about. Like,
yeah.
To me, it's like I don't get to hang out with friends every day. Most of my friends are in New York. That's where I was born. So for me, just hearing someone having a conversation almost like emulates that feeling of hanging out with people.
Yeah.
And I don't have to talk and I can concentrate on what I need to do artistically.
Right. You're like a fly on the wall.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A lot. Sometimes you disagree. And if you do, just switch podcasts, you know?
Yeah.
It's great. And right now I just can't stop listening to like every episode of Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. It just makes me laugh so much. It's like comedian based podcasts a lot of the time for sure.
Definitely.
And if not that, I'll like listen to a video game podcast.
And it's so cool. There's so many different subjects available. Yeah. Like you could still stay in your own bubble, but hear so many new ideas.
Yeah.
You know, we have so much control over that information. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it could totally turn you on to something that you had no idea you would be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a lot of the things on mainstream TV or movies, what's hot or what's trendy right now. Podcasts could be about anything. There's podcasts that will cover season episodes from years and years ago, like nostalgic podcasts. It's like, it doesn't have to be anything relevant. That's what I like about it so much.
Yep.
What is more important to you, work or love?
Well, love. Yeah. Definitely. I think everything comes from that. I think, you know, if we're unhappy with our work, it's because we don't love it. And I think everything great comes from love and everything bad comes from the lack of it.
Okay. So All You Need Is Love by the Beatles?
True. You know, like they made it like poppy and sensationalized, but I mean, the message is pretty clear.
Yeah. Are you a Beatles fan?
I like the Beatles. Yeah. Like not heavy and deep, but yeah.
Do you ever see any bands around Portland?
I have not. I don't really go to shows a lot, mostly because I work and I don't live in the city proper. But yeah, that's something else I've been thinking about doing.
Mm. Yeah. Would you ever put photos in a gallery or anything like that?
That's something I've been looking into as well. There are a couple like cafe kind of small places around Portland, like my yoga studio. I think I'm going to reach out to them and ask if I can show there, because I do see a lot of art. The difference is I've noticed that most of the art that I see around town isn't photography. It's mostly like paintings. So I want...
That's true.
Yeah, I love, you know, I can't paint very well, but I really admire when people can. I'd really like to have photography out there, and I want it to be different than most photography that you would see in a place like that.
Yeah. You could always put those Photoshop effects where it looks like a painting. Sometimes it looks good, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. That's
sometimes
definitely.
It's like, how does that... I did one recently. It was like an Instagram post on my People of Portland and Beyond Instagram, and it worked perfectly. I don't know why. It was like the photo, the way I took it, and the way the effects work, it looked like a painting. Like nice. Exactly like a painting.
Yeah.
And I was like, this could be... Like somebody would have tried to paint it, and it wouldn't have even looked as good. Like, I don't even know how. And another idea, you could maybe you can just work with a painter that paints from your photograph or something.
I've definitely wanted to collaborate with a painter or like a person who draws really well.
Yeah.
Because I'm really into mixed media art, and I was considering doing some photography and something else like overlaid.
Yeah.
I've seen it done before and I really want to try it. Definitely. I used to paint on my Polaroids.
Okay.
And then scan them in. I do that sometimes.
Cool.
Yeah.
If you were to get started in painting, would you like do a life drawing class? Like, how would you go about it?
I would probably honestly like do Bob Ross, you know, because I would feel good about it. And I've really been interested in landscapes as far as painting, because my photography interest started with portraits.
Okay.
And then it extended to things like nature. So I think with a different medium, I would like to try a different subject to start out with.
Okay. Yeah. When you take a picture with your phone, do you use manual or auto settings?
I didn't even know it had manual settings.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do take pictures with my phone, and I think it has, like, great. I have an iPhone, like, 7.
Mm-hmm.
Great quality,
yeah.
But definitely don't expect it to be anything like my DSLR.
Mm-hmm.
But I use the auto settings.
Okay. Do you ever do video work?
I haven't in a long time. That is another skill I am ready to master.
Nice. Yeah, for sure. So, what is the stupidest thing you've done because someone dared you to do it?
You know, I don't really recall because I tend to just not do stupid things when people tell me to.
Yeah.
I was probably not sober. I think I remember, but I was very young. I think I was in like junior high, and my friends and I went streaking down my tiny little street.
Yeah.
So like nobody saw us. It was like the middle of the night, but that's probably the stupidest
thing. Yeah, terrifying. I think I've been dared to do that, and I just like, I was like, no. Like that's like the one, I don't mind being naked. It's just like when somebody else sees me and it's around my apartment, I'm like, no.
Right,
like
yeah.
Somebody could see me and I could get in trouble and I could get kicked out. Like, that's what I start thinking.
It's true, yeah.
It's like the one time you can do it is the World Naked Bike Ride, which you could get some good photos during that.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about doing that?
I usually ride.
Really?
Yeah, it's really fun. And there are different stages of dress. You know, people wear whatever they feel comfortable with.
Do you full naked?
I haven't yet. I'm thinking about this year.
Yeah.
Having it be my first year. What I really like is just like all the body paint. Mm. I use it as an excuse to cover up in a different way.
Okay. Yeah. Do you go to the after party afterward?
Yeah, sometimes.
Was it awkward?
No. Okay. By that point, everyone's pretty comfortable. I think after you have thousands of people watching you ride your bike naked, standing around and drinking and dancing is the fun part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should organize a People of Portland and Beyond group, because I already had one girl come on and we said we were going to go. She was like episode 16, the hairstylist. So that's at least two guests that I know that are definitely going,
because
they went before.
I'm planning on it.
Yeah.
It's nice. So fun.
Did you dance when you were there?
Yeah, a little bit.
What kind of music did they play?
I can't remember the name of the place that I ended up at, but it was pretty dancey music. It was like EDM sort of stuff. That seems to be the vibe with this, because last year there were a lot of like lights and sparkly clothing and streamers and wings. It was almost like a rave.
Nice. And what part of the human body or the human face is your favorite?
Eyes, definitely.
Nice. Yeah, I think that I could agree with that.
You can tell a lot about a person from their eyes, what they're feeling and who they are a lot of times if you know them well enough.
If you could wedgie any historical figure, who would it be?
It's probably easy to say Hitler. But that's what my first answer was. Yeah. But you know,
he is a great character in this book by Kurt Vonnegut. And they made him like a good guy in the character. I think it was called Galapagos or Dead Eye Dick. One of the obscure books that he wrote.
Yeah.
And it was like the greatest character. Like, I don't know why it was a good character. And he was also in Preacher, the show Preacher. They made Hitler a character and he's a nice guy. It's such crap. Like, why are they doing this? I don't know, but it's just like, I don't know. They like, from this perspective, if he wasn't a jerk, You could be a cool guy. Like, I don't know why they do that.
I wouldn't try to humanize him at all, you know?
This happens all the time, though. Like, Lucifer, he's humanized now. It's like, it's just a common thing that happens.
Yeah, I think a lot of time has passed. We kind of forget.
Yeah, I think it's just like, we want to push the envelope and see what we can get away with here. Like, a lot of the times, you'll see incest in TV shows now. Game of Thrones, this ballet show. They did, like, it just keeps coming up. They're like, what else can we do?
Yeah. You know, I think humans naturally do like to push the envelope. I just wish we could push it toward progress instead of regressing into things that are actually harmful to other humans. Yeah, definitely.
Seems like, you're absolutely right. Like, why not make progress in LGBTQ field instead, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I think we are pretty quickly, but there's still a lot of work to do, and like, that's where I want to push the envelope.
Yeah,
is, you know, people who need help, not people who are already doing things they shouldn't be.
Yeah, then there's the media, the way that, you know, they'll put a female naked in a movie way before like a guy, because that's just, society accepts that.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to change. You know, they had that movie that came out, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, and you thought that, like, okay, full frontal male nudity is going to come more now. And it's like, no, actually, that was like a kind of like a one-time thing.
Yeah.
It's Game of Thrones, Hodor and all that. But like, other than that, it's just like, still, it's like 10% of it at this point. And before that, it was like 1%, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's more of like, you know, women can't own their own sexuality. Someone else has to own it for them. And it kind of reminds me of like Instagram and their censoring.
Yeah.
Their community standards. And how a lot of women are like photoshopping male nipples.
Really?
Over theirs.
Okay.
Because it's technically within the guidelines.
That's interesting.
I love that.
Yeah.
And I think if Instagram does ever go the way of MySpace, it'll be because of that.
How could they go the way of MySpace? What do you mean?
Just sort of become irrelevant.
Okay. Yeah. Do you think Facebook could become irrelevant one day?
I think it's already started.
Yeah, Instagram is taking it over.
Yeah.
Then you think Instagram will be irrelevant one day?
Everything will become irrelevant one day. So
even Google?
Probably, but they'll last a lot longer.
Okay.
You know, it just depends on how they perform. I think everything, like, nothing lasts forever. Instagram is pretty prolific. They've got a big, you know, user base. But I do think it's all just humans and we're fallible.
Yeah.
And we are short attention span kind of people right now, especially with apps like Instagram. So like, when the next best thing comes, it might not happen quickly, but it will happen. Yeah. So that's why, like, when I try to cultivate an online presence, it's not just Instagram and it's not about Instagram. It's about my art and myself and my collaborators.
Yeah.
And it's what we do, not where we do it.
Okay. What is your favorite restaurant in Portland right now? Or Oregon, whatever.
So I love food.
Yeah.
I really, really like Sweet Pea Bakery on Stark. They're an all-vegan bakery. They have the best sandwiches ever that I've ever had here.
Really? As a New Yorker, I take that very seriously.
Yeah. They're all vegan. But I know a lot of non-vegans, non-vegetarians who love that place.
Nice.
And they're local, which is another great thing. Local and small.
Okay. Do you ever like to ride bikes around Portland?
I do like riding bikes. I was inspired by the naked bike ride and how people will like decorate their bikes.
Yeah.
So I put those little battery operated fairy lights on my bike, and I have little other bells and
they're like a pinwheel or something.
I need one.
Would that drag wind though? But yeah.
I'm not worried about speed so much. It's just enjoying it. But yes, I do like to ride. This place has a lot of hills, which can be fun or scary depending on your mood.
Have you tried doing a scooter around Portland?
The e-scooters?
Yeah.
I love those too.
So much fun.
Yes. I love them.
Especially the fast ones.
And all the naysayers are just grumpy about it.
Yeah. I was naysaying. I was grumpy. And then I tried one and I was like, this is awesome. I don't know why I didn't like it, just because I almost tripped over one or whatever.
They're really fun. I think it makes getting around really great. And I love seeing the community come together and enjoy something that's actually good. It's fun. And it does kind of help us, you know, rely less on cars.
It's definitely decluttering traffic.
Yeah.
Like I've been noticing there's like Lyfts everywhere. And it's like, I'll see a Lyft, I'll see that pink logo, and then I'll see another Lyft right behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, that guy behind him is not even going to get the ride. Like,
I think I'm happy there's a lot of different ways that we can kind of use public transportation. I think the car sharing economy is cool because the money goes into the pockets of the people doing the work and the companies like Uber and Lyft. But I like sharing things that we have with each other.
I'm hoping in like 20 years, people can be more self-starting and just like start their own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The same way we're posting on Facebook, I'm posting original content on Spotify. It's like, you know, we're relying too much on corporations and big businesses. Even me right now, like a majority of the money I make goes through Amazon. It goes to the Amazon Fulfillment Center, which is great because I can be creative and they'll ship the item out for me.
But yeah,
I want to be more self-sufficient. Like Amazon, they have done this. They've temporarily suspended my account for 3 days and then I have no income for 3 days. Like you need some kind of backup plan.
Yeah,
my
definitely.
Website needs to get more SEO traction and such.
I definitely think that those like third parties are a good way to start getting it out there because you're paying them to kind of help you advertise yourself a little.
Yeah.
But like in this day and age, it's easier than ever to promote yourself. And that's why Instagram is great too, because you don't actually have to pay anything to use it. And you can still make money and expose, you know, your work, show it off. But it is harder.
Mm-hmm.
It's harder to do that, but it's definitely possible.
Yeah. Do you have any tattoos?
Yes, I do. I have a few.
What are they?
So the very first tattoo that I got, I was 18. I got the Eiffel Tower on my leg.
Yeah.
You can see that.
Nice.
Because I had traveled to Europe a few years before and it was just really wonderful. I'd like to go again just to kind of have an adult experience there because I was like 13.
Yeah.
I have quite a few. They all have little stories, but nothing major.
I heard the baguettes are good in France. Is that true?
Everything's good in France. Yes, it's wonderful food. Everyone's a little bit more chill than here. Like, I think we're nicer, but they're more chill.
Yeah.
You know? Like, we always have somewhere to go at a certain time. We have to eat on the way. Can't stop to do anything.
Especially if you've ever been in New York. Like, everyone's so busy and rushes around and stuff. Not less like that in Portland, but
Yeah, I think New York's definitely like the epitome of American culture.
You had been there?
I haven't. I have not personally been there. But just from what I've seen and heard, it seems to be just like pretty obvious like what the rest of the country is kind of like on a lesser scale.
Yeah.
But that's one of the reasons I like Portland because it is a little more laid back.
Yeah,
I think people appreciate things.
Yeah, New York is very late to the game with legalizing weed. Since they're more liberal than most, I'm surprised.
Might have something to do with
Rockefeller laws is what I've...
Yeah.
The Rockefeller laws are really bad in New York. Like, minor drug offenses, people get years in jail for. Because...
Not too bad.
Because it's an industry. The jail industry is... I think it's actually worse on the East Coast. I don't know. That's just an assumption, but like...
That would make sense.
There's more people over there, so it's probably bigger.
Older laws too.
And there's more space over here, so there's less chance of getting caught doing a crime. I don't know.
Yeah, that's one thing. I think the West Coast, the reason it's so much more chill is because there's so much more space.
I think so.
To like breathe.
I felt like as soon as I got to the West Coast, like I was less paranoid about things.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's like when I was at the East Coast, I was like always looking over my shoulder, like traveling on the Long Island Expressway. It's like just like a cop waiting for you to make one wrong move because there's like hundred thousand people probably on the Long Island Expressway every day. I don't know how much traffic, but there's like 4 lanes, 5 lanes at sometimes, and it goes straight to New York City. It's just like they're just waiting for you to make a mistake. I don't know. Sometimes they would just scan your license plate to pull some random people over. In Iowa, I was just pulled over because of like the way I looked.
Really?
So yeah, I'm glad that I haven't been harassed really at all here by police, except one time. I was walking down the street to the apartment and the cop was like, "Can I see your ID? You look like somebody from an APB." And I knew that was crap right away. And I felt like violated, honestly.
Yeah. Wow.
And they're not allowed to do that. They're not allowed to just stop you and ask for ID. So, but you don't ever talk. I don't, from my experience, talking back to a cop is worse. You just go along with it. It sucks.
Because they're supposed to help you and you're not supposed to be afraid of them. But that's the world we're in now. I've been fortunate enough to not really have any issues like that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to cross my fingers that I won't.
I mean, it's for me, it's like I have long hair, so they're just like, oh, something's wrong. He's not conforming to society, so
yeah.
We have to see what's up here.
Which is strange, you know, if that ever happened in Portland, because I feel like there's so many different types of people, yeah, too, that it's hard to say who's conforming and who's not.
Yeah, and if I was a criminal, I would cut my hair and I would make it all short and I'd be a cookie cutter to make sure I wouldn't get caught. I'd drive the cops that the cops drive, because I heard that they're like, oh, that's my car.
Right. Like is like, yeah.
Yeah, I would drive the nicest, you know, stupid minivan. I would just like make it look like I was a normal person if I was really a criminal, you know?
You'd have to try, yeah.
Yeah. But
sounds exhausting.
They're just going off of profiling, I guess. A lot of in Iowa, that's what they did.
Yeah.
They just waited 45 minutes till like got into a no, you know, like construction zone. But, you know, that's just the way it is. Some cops are good. I haven't met any.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there are. Yeah. I think it's not about individual cops as much as it is about the system.
Yeah. I would like to have one on the show. That would be great to talk to one of them.
I think that would be great too, because it's always good to have
an
insider opinion. And they are people too. So
it's like a person that was a complete hater. I guess I wouldn't have them on the show, but I'll have any perspective on the show, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, why not? They could give me some insight that I had no idea. Like, for sure. I know there's a lot of cops that hate when people hate them. It's just like, I can see where they're coming from too.
Well, you know, they hate when people hate them, but we hate being harassed by them for no reason. So maybe consider that.
Yeah, definitely. What's the best way to spend a rainy afternoon for you?
There are a lot of those around here, so I've gotten a laundry list, but I definitely like to read. So when it's really rainy, if it's been like multiple rainy days in a row, I'm probably really depressed. But when it's just one off, like in the summer, I really like to take the time if I'm not working to just kind of clean a little bit. I find water and like rain to be like very introspective and like emotionally cleansing. It's really nice to just listen to the rain.
Yeah.
Spend some time on the couch with my little wiener dog.
Nice.
And
what's his name?
My little wiener dog. She's a girl. Her name is Lily.
Okay.
Yeah, she's cute.
Yes.
I love little wieners.
Yes. Do you think any kind of afterlife exists?
I don't know for sure. I was raised to believe that it does, but I am inclined to believe that it's just after death, like it was before birth, and we don't really remember.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Do you hope?
Yeah, I hope there's something good. I definitely don't think there's anything bad.
Mm.
I think...
Yeah, it's like a bad, yeah.
Yeah, I think if there's anything bad at all, it's right now that you choose to live in it.
The concept of hell and even heaven never made sense to me. It's like, you're going to get tortured over and over. You're going to feel pain over and over. After a while, isn't it just like numb to you? Same thing with pleasure. It's just like, you get everything you want. After a while, it doesn't even matter.
I just think it's really hard for humans to say confidently what the afterlife will be like, because we in our current minds have no concept of eternity. Like, we just can't comprehend it.
I think most humans think that pleasure can't exist without pain. Pain can't exist without pleasure, vice versa, because without the fight, you know, what are you fighting for? So it's like, if you get to heaven, there's no challenge. You're going to be bored. Can you watch porn? It's like, can you be bad? Can you do drugs? It's like, I think it'll be boring as hell. Maybe you'll like it if you're into that whole thing. I don't know. That's just my opinion. I'd like to go back to Earth and have some more challenges, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Like, I do think that, like, you can't really have one without the other, but I don't know if that only applies to this sort of life, you know?
We don't know what else, you know? We don't know what a spiritual being encounters, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I have actually been studying the concept of enlightenment a lot,
because
I've been reading, you know, Deepak Chopra. And I think that, like, you can kind of touch that as a human, because we're all kind of a part of, like, the greater consciousness.
Do you think DMT brings you into that consciousness?
I have never done DMT. Okay. Honestly, that sort of hallucinogens kind of scares me a little bit.
Oh, it's very scary. It's more intense than, like, those mushrooms or something.
Yeah, so... But to speak on psychedelics, I have tried shrooms before, and I did feel like that helped a little bit with understanding, like, just connection to nature more than anything. And then from there, I've kind of deduced myself that, like, we are part of nature, so we are part of this greater collective consciousness.
Okay.
Then, you know, being more attached to that and connected to it will bring us more happiness.
Yeah, I feel like just working in my garden attaches me it to it. Like I did that this morning.
Yeah,
I was just weeding. It just felt good, just being out in nature. I don't even know why cleaning up weeds feels good to me.
Yeah,
it's just, I don't know, something about cleaning up and tidying things up. Sometimes it's like a zen-like feeling.
It is because it's like a physical representation of clearing clutter, like, and it helps our minds.
Yeah,
and I think it's definitely good. I think people tend to like avoid things they consider bad or negative, like cleaning, and then that's why we're so unhappy, because we can't face the negatives and bad things in our lives, so they just keep piling up.
Yeah,
you know, we should take care of them and we'd be free of them.
I agree. It's like, why not take care of the earth?
Yeah.
These weeds are getting too much. Yeah, I'm in Adams Community Garden. I think this will be my final year, though, because it's so much work.
Gardening for food is, yeah.
Yeah, it is. And there's enough organic and natural choices in Oregon where it's like a freaking 5-pound sack of potatoes is $2. Or I could bust my ass myself and do it. Mm-hmm. Which is fine, I guess, if you're into it. But I want to be more artistic. I want to now put more time into the podcast, making music and stuff like that. Yeah. Even driving 10 minutes down to Adams Community Gardens, is like, I could have done that something else. I don't know. Time is super important to me.
It is, you know, because it's not really guaranteed and you only have now. And I think like gardening and growing food is like a noble pursuit because it needs to be done. But we live in an age where not everyone has to do it to survive.
Yeah.
And we can all contribute in other ways. And like yours would be your art.
Yep.
And sharing information with other people. And that's great.
Yeah. I'm just worried that like it'll get lost in Instagram's ether. Like the 20-year post from Instagram, no one's going to scroll down 20 years.
And, right.
And like a hashtag. It's like, how is Instagram going to do it? A hashtag from 20 years ago. Is it really fair to have that still up? The guy is dead. It's from 100 years ago. Is it really fair for that to be a top post at this point?
I almost wonder, like, you have to consider history and how popular, you know, culture at the time has lived on through the years. It's probably going to be some similar concept to that, but just through a different platform. Like, the internet has only been a big thing, like, the past 20 to 30 years.
Yeah, that's interesting. We know how TV, the old movie stars from the 50s and 40s, we know of them because that was all that was there.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to decipher what lives on from the internet 20 years ago? Like, who decides that?
And I think a big problem with that too is like photographs. We don't really have physical photographs anymore,
right?
Whereas we have a ton of digital ones and it's all on this little hard drive.
Yeah.
And when that's gone, like, where are our memories?
Yeah. There was photo albums from my grandparents would keep around the house and we would look through them, but it's like, well, that's not going to be around.
So yeah.
What are our kids going to look through?
They'll look through the cloud.
The Instagram, like they're just gonna, their fingers are gonna get tired, and like, I'm just not scrolling to when it was 2010. That's too far away.
Right.
Even now, like Facebook, good luck.
Yeah.
Instagram's even worse. There's no way to get down to 2010 or whatever. Like, there's no way to do that in Instagram.
I think if it like perpetuates, goes on through time, they might add a search function by time. That would be smart.
That would be.
Yeah.
One annoying thing, like, it's like you can only search one hashtag at a time. It's like, I want to search hashtag and city location at the same time. Instagram's very basic like that.
Yeah.
They need to improve their stuff.
Yeah, I think, you know, they will implement changes they find necessary. I'm not sure how they determine what changes they make, and I'd be interested in knowing that, because I definitely think the user should have some opinion.
Yeah.
You know, because we're the ones they're targeting, so.
I agree. I'm sure there's some kind of beta program, but
yeah,
I wish they would take our opinions more seriously. Well, thank you so much for coming in today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Definitely. I would hope to check in to see if you do any more stuff with your career in a year or two.
Yeah, wonderful.
Great. All right, we'll see you then.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Try. I'm gonna say no, 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 no. won't go. Giving, I'm sure you'll be waiting patiently.